Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mike Boddicker is here. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I think today is going to be faster than yesterday, Steve. There's so much going on. So much. You nailed that first hour, by the way.
Thank you. You really did. I appreciate that.
That's exactly what happened.
The first thing I've nailed in years. So.
I ain't buying it.
Hey, I thought about you last night.
I saw you guys eating.
We got together. Oh, did you see?
I saw the picture.
We got together for Susan's birthday.
Was Sue's birthday yesterday?
Yeah.
Darn it.
We went to a Mexican restaurant we like a lot that has a Taco Tuesday.
That was a hell of a plate.
Steve St. John Sr. is...
He looked mean there. Well, was he mean?
He only wants the deep-fried tacos. As my grandmother and my mother used to call them the toothpick tacos. You got to put the toothpick, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's how you know. If there's a toothpick holding that taco shell together, then you know it's a good one.
Fry it with the meat in it.
That's exactly right, you know. And you got to have just grease dripping from your chin. And so, great place that's by us that has deep-fried tacos and special on Taco Tuesday, right? And so, Susan wanted to go there, and I knew my dad would like to go there.
You had a group.
We had the whole crew. We had all the kids, everybody, and then our little friend Sam was also there. And, you know, Sam likes to get those big margaritas that he could actually sit in like a hot tub. And then he starts ordering the margaritas, right? And then my dad's wife starts having the margaritas. Uh-oh. So then, my dad's like,
I'm not missing out on the fun.
Right. And so we got everyone. We got drivers like Phil's driving Susan. I'm driving the girls. It's all, so everyone, you know, the ones that are having fun are having
drinking
fun.
Drinking responsibly.
Right? But my dad, we were laughing. Because he got those tacos. And then he went dark. He went silent. He was just, you know. And a couple of, and so I like to throw back the jabs he'd give to me. Like, hey, come up for air over there, all right? You okay? Mm-hmm. Want me to call somebody? So anyway, they brought out, and I tried to get a picture of it, and I didn't. And I was going to show you. They brought out, like, some fried ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And some churros and all this other stuff for, the, you know, we sang happy birthday, and we're passing the desserts around there. And so, you know, he's not supposed to have too much sugar. But he wanted to have some sugar, you know. So he got a big churro with chocolate and whipped cream. And he was eating it. And he didn't know. And he had like a big, like, whipped cream all around his mouth.
Whipped cream mustache.
And I'm going, Sam. Mm-hmm. And we're on the boys. And we're dying laughing. And my dad's like, what's the problem? What are you? And I grab my phone, and just I'm taking a picture. He hides down and realizes it. But he was in rare form last night.
Oh, and I'm sorry I missed that. You know I love your dad. So
no, we had a good time. So I'm glad you saw the Snapchat.
Yes, I did. I don't know how to respond to him, but I saw it.
Well, there's not much to respond to based on what happened last night. So, but we had a blast. So yeah, happy birthday again to Sue. There's zero chance she's up right now. The girls don't have school, and she's
sleeping off those margaritas.
She's all tuckered out. Let me tell you that right now. She had a fun birthday. So that's before good. We get into the votes, and I know that you have your, I'm sure you have your thoughts you'd like to share.
I do.
Start off with some good news that cannot be ignored. Alec Marsh.
Yes.
We were all excited.
I was actually texting. I was watching on the MLB thing last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was. I flipped over to the Orioles announcers because Palmer was announcing, my ex-teammate, mm-hmm. Jim Palmer. And I think he was a little surprised at his command. Anyway, the weather was crappy, just terrible out there. Yesterday, but misty
what's that
rain.
Do to a pitcher that those type of elements?
It's just a matter of grip on the ball and your footing, your landing foot, if you slip or not. And they usually got the mounds taken care of. If it gets a little bad, they go between innings and take care of it.
But worse for hitters or worse for pitchers?
I think it's worse for hitters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a wet bat. You got water dripping off your helmet. You got, it's just, the box gets mushy, and it's I think it's worse for hitters. So, and the longer the game goes, the harder it is. So,
7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, only 76 pitches through 7 innings.
Yes. Yeah, and I texted Palmer, I says, because he says, I don't understand, we're not getting good looks at his fastball.
Tremendous name dropping right now going on.
This is phenomenal.
And he goes, and I texted him, I says, you must be getting old, because you can't see that late movement he's got on his fastball. Because it literally was a last-second dart, just real quick.
What did Palmer say then?
Huh? He says the monitors are 2 feet away from me. I can't see that far.
Did he take a new yeah, phone? Yeah. New phone? Who
no,
did this?
No. He,
yes.
No. He said, I can't see that well anymore. So, well, yeah. He was, you know, at least he was honest.
I can relate.
He's getting up in age. But that was what I noticed. Instead of, like, when he was having his command problems, he was going for corners. And the ball was darting off. He was throwing the ball thirds, inner third, outer third, and the ball would just jump right at the end. And either they were late on it or it was taking it off the meat of the bat. You didn't see one hard hit ball, maybe two, all night on him?
Because, like, watching him, I thought, this is the kind of performance Mike Bosker likes.
I love that performance last night. I mean, not a lot of strikeouts. What do you have, 5 maybe?
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't care about that.
No.
We only walk one guy.
Yeah. And that was the thing. Not a lot of pitches, hardly any walks, one walk. I mean, you went right after the hitters with that late movement on his fastball. He had a good breaking ball. So
It was
fun to watch. It really was.
And a reminder for people, you know.
Singer was great the other day,
sure
too.
Was.
I mean, he was just fabulous.
And if you're a hardcore Royals fan, you know this. But maybe if you're just a casual fan, you don't know this. You wonder, okay, where the hell did Alec Marsh come from? He has pedigree. Okay, he pitched for Arizona State. And then he was named All Pac-12 after he became a starter during his sophomore season. So then he was selected in the competitive balance section of the second round in 2019. And so he was a relatively high draft pick.
Yeah, that's a high draft pick.
That they have liked a lot. That he struggled, like he struggled with his command.
That was it. That was his thing, was command. Too many pitches, too many walks.
I think.
But this isn't some guy coming out of nowhere.
No.
He's been a prospect.
His stuff's good. It was good even when he was having command issues. It was just a matter of throwing the ball over the plate. He has great late movement on his fastball. I mean, it's that last second dart. It's not that fading stuff. It's that little cut right at the end, one way or the other. I mean, it's just, you don't see that in a lot of people.
I don't want to jump to too many conclusions. As you've said so many times, Stephen, you love saying that it's early.
It is early. 7:14 a.m.
But that's not that early.
And I know that you're not a fan of some of the ways they go about it, but this new pitching department that the Royals have, I just think it's going to be really interesting to see. Obviously, they got something out of Cole Reagans that he didn't have before, right? They figured something
good arm
out with him. Well, they figured something out, though, to where he could use it in a way that he hadn't been able to use before. They might, it's one game, they might have found out some ways to help Alec Marsh with his command.
That's what I'm hoping.
They
throw
clearly,
the ball over the plate and,
yeah.
and trust your stuff. Trust your feelers.
And I remember I can't remember which guy from their pitching lab that I heard saying this last year was some of the pitchers that have really good movement, throw the ball more towards the middle of the plate
exactly.
and let your movement carry the ball off the plate or off the center of the plate.
So, yeah, take it off the bat.
So you're still throwing
the
strikes.
The meat of the bat, yeah.
Yeah, but your movement is the thing that's, you know, instead of trying to hit the corners, you know, with pitches like
yeah.
that.
All the greatest hitters I've ever talked to said a fastball – well located with movement is the toughest thing to hit.
And
so.
I think, like, talking to Bubich last year, he was a big fan of it. He got hurt. We'll see what he comes back like. But I asked him what he liked so much about this new approach, and he said, it's not one size fits all. They listen to you. They watch you pitch. They figure out what you're comfortable with, what you like, and then they try to get you to maximize that. And I do think that the old approach that the Royals had –
It was cookie cutter.
It was, hey, we're all throwing four-seam fastballs. This is how we do it.
It was cookie cutter.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. And it doesn't work for everybody.
Everybody's got different arm action. Yeah. Everybody's got different mechanics.
Yep. And I agree. That was the one thing that really bugged me. Too many walks. Throw the ball over the plate. Allow your stuff to get people out. And that's what Marsh did last night. I mean, I was so impressed with that late movement on his fastball. That's really hard to hit. Really tough to square that up.
The other good news from last night is the bullpen didn't blow it. They did their job. Shriver, one inning, one hit. That's it. Will Smith got the save, one inning, one strikeout. And so that's theoretically, there's your
perfect
eighth and ninth inning guys.
That was perfect. But you got to get that helps when you get the guy going into the seventh, maybe the eighth inning. You're not going to wear out your pen.
Now sing the praises of Michael Garcia.
Good ball player. Good ball player.
He's solid. There's a lot to like there.
Yeah, he's solid. That's what I like about him. He's solid. He makes the plays. He does 99.9% of the time, he does things right. And the kid can hit. I mean, his one weakness, I think, last year was chasing the high fastball. And he's found a way to foul that off so far instead of swinging through it.
Well, he worked. I mean, he played winner ball at Venezuela. Yeah. And
he had a great winner off the ball. Yeah, he had a great winner.
So there's every reason to believe that he's worked on his approach and that he's found a groove, and it sure looks like it so far.
Yeah.
He is – it's early. I know you like to say, Stephen. He's slugging 750 right now. You mentioned the extra base hits. We talked with Scott Sharp about that last year. One of the things he didn't do last year was hit for any power. But he's 24 years old, and he's 6 foot tall with a 180-pound frame. Guys develop power at the big league level as they get into their mid-20s.
I developed fat. I don't know about him. Maybe.
Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah.
But we talked to Scott Sharp, but I asked him last year, do you guys, because, you know, you try to, when you're a scout, you try to profile guys out. Is he going to develop power, or is he, because some guys just never hit for power. And they felt like, yeah, no, he's got the frame. We believe that, and he hits the ball hard. We think as he matures a little bit, the power will come. And he already got two home runs?
Yeah.
You know, what did he have, three all last year?
There's been a lot of little guys hit for power. And generally it's because they're hitting through the ball instead of to the ball. Hitting to the ball will top spin the ball. If you hit through the ball, you get carry. So
he had four home runs all last year. Yeah, he's already got two this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's and it's early. But I do think that's something to keep an eye on, because if he adds – because that's what a lot of times at third base, right, the corner spots, Bod, you're looking for guys that can be run production bats.
You don't have to hit home runs to be run production.
No, but
you like to have that.
Doubles, triples. Those all go into slugging percentage.
Especially with him leading off, man, those doubles and triples.
If you can score runs, you're driving in runs, you're productive.
Yeah.
And so now the Royals, I mean, that was a good win. They've gone through the rotation now. And as I said earlier, it's so easy to look at last year on paper and this year on paper, look at the rosters and see where they made the biggest improvements. They have a real legitimate rotation. They're not going to go through this well.
We'll see
every
how
time
the
through.
If the bullpen picks it up and does what they're supposed to do, I mean, this is a nice little team. It really is. I mean, I thought Waka threw well. I mean, it's the good part about it is you see all these veteran pitchers. Brady Singer can just be Brady Singer.
That's right.
And throw the ball, and he did the other day. He was dynamite. And we've seen both sides of Brady, but he doesn't have to be the ace. He doesn't have to be the guy. Alec Marsh doesn't have to be the guy. Go out and pitch. Use your stuff. Throw the ball over the plate, and you're going to win games.
I don't know the answer to this. I mean, probably 15. But, I mean, when's the last time you could say with a straight face that you're looking forward to every starting pitcher in the rotation? That you don't have a guy like,
I don't even know if 15 was that.
And for the last couple of years, there's been multiple guys who was like, oh.
Yeah.
By the end of the year in 15, when they acquired.
Well, yeah, when they acquired the guys, yes.
Was it Volquez and Cueto they got in the middle of the season, late in the season?
They got Cueto late.
Late?
I'm trying to remember when they got Volquez. Did he have him the whole year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had him the whole year.
But, I mean, just it and again, you could argue about the higher upside or whatever else, but just the depth of the rotation now. There's not this big giant black hole where you feel like.
Well, you hit a nail on the head because earlier you were talking about they did not bite on the, okay, we're paying Lyles this kind of money, we have to start him. Don't have to, okay? You don't have to. Bring him out of the pen, whatever you have to do. You have to have a solid starting rotation. He was not. I watched some spring training games he pitched, and he was not good in spring training. I mean, not to the point where he was giving up a lot of hits. He was giving up home runs. It looked like he had nothing to get anybody out with. That was the scary part. And I know that feeling. That was the end of my career. I knew I had nothing to get anybody out with. So it was time. That's a bad feeling.
But that also went with the body of work that he posted last year.
Yeah.
If he posted a 3.5 ERA last year in 150 innings, you might be able to look at a spring training. And
then you don't care.
Yeah. But when you got rocked all last year, we saw the same thing all of last year that we saw
in spring training.
Yeah. And I like it because you know what? If you want to make the money back that you're paying him, win some baseball games, and more people will show up, and you make more money.
Exactly.
You know, so you're better off if Alec Marsh can give you a legit fifth starter.
Or if you're really worried about getting the money back, having worked for Trevor in the middle of the game.
It's a lot of work to get that money back.
We've got Mike Boddicker in studio. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get Mike's thoughts on the vote last night, the no vote winning.
What did I tell you? What did I say last week? Nope.
There it is. Mike Boddicker will be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. We have Mike Boddicker in studio. We also have his son Corey in studio as well to talk about the upcoming bourbon raffle. You can get more information at BoddickerFoundation.org. That's BoddickerFoundation.org. And you says see raffle details. Click on it, and it'll take you to the information page telling you everything you need to know about the 4th Annual Boddicker Foundation Bourbon Raffle benefiting Children's Mercy. You can click on Buy Tickets Now, and the tickets are available for purchase right now. And when will they cut off?
April 17th at midnight.
Okay, so you still got
Wednesday the 17th.
You still got some time. The drawing is going to be, the raffle is going to be on Monday, April 22nd. And you must be 21 to enter and must provide a valid ID and be willing to be frisked by Corey and or James Boddicker.
I thought that was Nate's job.
Well,
Nate's job was it, yeah.
If you want it, you could have it.
I got the date I've got the date on my calendar.
Yeah, thanks for responding to my email.
Wow,
thanks. Appreciate it.
This guy, hey, let me tell you something. This guy didn't respond.
I responded.
Yeah, you two responded. Nate just said, nah, forget it.
Unless MLS is in the subject, you ask about soccer, he ain't responding.
Gosh, I forgot to put some soccer in there.
Just put in there, like, R-E, soccer. And then,
I'm old-fashioned. I'd rather respond to you face-to-face than over
you
some
you assumed that I was going to be alive and come in here.
Well, if that was true, then you would have picked up the phone right away and called him.
All right, I know
that's not face-to-face. That's also over a
live
technology.
FaceTime him.
Corey's got to take some kids to school. So, Corey, tell us what we need to know, what we have here, how many bottles will be involved in this raffle, and give me a couple of the big prizes, the big gets that I know that you work very hard to try to acquire all of these wonderful bottles for the bourbon raffle.
Yeah, it's almost a full-time job. We have 52 bottles this year, lucky number 52, in honor of the old man's number while he was playing. And we still have bottles coming in, actually, so we're still working on the final lineup. And This year, we actually have, like, the value of the bottles is more than it has been years past. We got a lot of very good bottles of bourbon and rye, and big names. You've got your Pappy Van Winkle 15-year, George T. Stagg, Thomas Handy. There's a Woodford Baccarat Edition, which we've never had before. It's a $2,000 bottle. And a whole bunch of different Wellers and E.H. Taylors, and Blanton's, which I know Steven's a big fan of.
Ooh.
Via John Wick. Yeah.
Ooh. Yes.
Tickle your fancy, doesn't it, Steve?
Well, yes. That's one way to describe it. Tickle something.
Yeah, so we've got a great lineup. Still collecting some bottles, but we'll be finalizing the list on the website.
We're going to have fun.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
You trying to get you know who to come out there?
I am. I texted him the other day. No response, just like Nate.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called big leaguing you. I got big leagued by him.
One of them should be big leaguing people.
Yeah, I understand him. Nate big leagued me. Okay.
Like I said, I'm more of an in-person guy. You know, I like
you?
To, yeah. I'm not hiding behind some text message or something like that. I'm going to talk face-to-face, tell you I'm going to be there.
Sounds like an excuse.
I heard that. So if you get that last second call that you need to go to announce a soccer game in wherever, you're gonna be announcing a soccer game.
That's true.
Yes, I know that's true.
No, I should be good. That date is open, and I'm excited. And I've been letting all my buddies know about the bourbon raffle. The part of the reason I'm going to make sure I'm there is that way, if I win this time, Steven can't just throw my name out.
Oh,
I can win.
The hell I can.
I'll be right there.
You won't know.
Now,
see, he's poking now. Now I'm going to.
He's poking the bear. No, he should not poke the bear. No.
I'm buying tickets. I deserve a chance to win.
I'm getting tickets.
I'm buying my raffle tickets.
So reiterate, tell people exactly, because the most important thing is where the money goes. So people want to know where the money goes, and so that's very important. So let's establish that now so people can understand why we need a lot of people to buy tickets.
Yeah, the money goes to the Oncology Family Financial Support Fund at Children's Mercy. So it's offsetting the cost of medical bills for kids that are going through chemo, radiation, et cetera. And in years past, we've done more of the non-medical bill side because they had a lot of money set aside for the actual financial side. But we're kind of switching the funds a little bit this year to go to the actually paying the medical bills as they come through.
So a couple things on that. I mean, we were sitting here talking about we all know somebody who has a kid that's battling cancer, and you think about the emotional toll that takes on a family right there. If you're a parent and all of a sudden your child gets sick, you take them to the hospital and you find out, oh, they're diagnosed with cancer. And you're trying to process all of that, not only the fear for the health of your child. Oh, by the way, here's a mountain of bills that you're going to be paying.
That's the thing.
On top of it, this is going to be financially ridiculously expensive for you to even try to give your kid the best opportunity to do this. Medical expenses, but also for kids that live outside of the city that have to come stay here for time, all that stuff starts to add up. And so that's what you're talking about. That's where this money goes. So to help a family that's going through the biggest crisis of their life, not only emotionally but financially at the exact same time. But I would love for you to tell a little bit about how you started this foundation, too, because this was a birthday present,
Christmas.
I remember correctly. Christmas present.
It was my brother's idea. And he
don't give him all the credit.
No,
he's not here.
He doesn't do anything. So. It was his idea, and he handed it off.
What was the story behind it?
Corey got the blunt of it.
Yeah, so my brother James thought it would be a good idea to start it, and it was on the tail end of Mike finishing up his radiation from when he had cancer, and we said we want to do this to have a family legacy of giving. We basically said we're going to do this and sat down. So where do you want the money to go? And without missing a beat, Mike said childhood cancer. So we started reaching out to some folks in town and got connected with the folks at Children's Mercy. And we had some different ideas on how to raise money. And I had been involved in a couple charity bourbon raffles in the past. And I thought, well, we could probably give this a whirl and see what happens. And we came out of the gate the first year and I think raised about $75,000. That's like,
we were
shocked. This is what we're doing from here on out.
Yeah.
So this was your birthday present to your pops?
Christmas present.
Yeah, Christmas present. Sorry, yeah. I keep saying that.
That was my Christmas
present. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Too.
Charity Foundation. Wait, it was the birthday present?
Good listener over here.
So
that's pretty awesome. That's
so
really
tell
cool.
people again what they need to know and what you want them to know and why this is so important.
Yeah.
And the dates.
The dates, tickets are on sale now.
I'm getting ticket.
We'll be cutting off the tickets at midnight on the 17th of April, Wednesday the 17th. So a couple weeks left. And the drawing will take place on Monday the 22nd. Winners will be contacted within 24 hours of winning.
It'll be streamed. Our drawing will be streamed.
Yep.
DMI is going to do it.
Yep. Botticker Foundation.org.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's a new place.
Okay.
It's nice.
All right.
They got a really beautiful place out there. We were out there the other day and figuring out how everything was going to be set up and everything like that. You're going to be a star.
I can't wait.
You guys are going to shine. Jake's going to look really good
out
there.
Wait till you see what I'm
going
to wear.
BotticherFoundation.org.
Yes. I'm a little different.
Yes. BotticherFoundation.org. You can see the details of the raffle right there.
Yeah, we have a list.
Buy
of the,
tickets.
We have a list of the bottles of bourbon that we have. It'll be updated this week as more bottles come in. Unlimited amount of tickets sold. $5 a ticket.
You can
$5
tickets.
Buy one. You can buy 100.
How many did you sell last year? So we'll know what number we're going to beat.
You're making me do math.
Yeah.
On air.
It was about $92,000.
Yeah, we were a little over $92,000 worth. So divided by five. Steven's got his calculator out.
He's doing his Gazintas, his ciphering.
Mm-hmm. 18,400.
Yeah. 18,400.
Top 20,000 this year.
That would be
That's
nice.
The goal.
That would be
That's
yeah,
the
that
goal.
Would be the
BotticherFoundation.org.
Yeah.
BotticherFoundation.org.
Every penny goes to the hospital.
Yep.
Nobody gets paid. Nothing. Even my great hosts here.
Oh, they come wait, on, I'm not getting paid?
No, you have to pay.
No, you're not getting paid.
You have to pay him compliments.
Well, there might be a bottler for
pay
you.
Pay him some attention.
There might be a bottler
pay
for you.
Pay some attention.
He loves it.
I do. My fragile ego needs stroking over here.
Yeah.
Whoa. Good God, man. This is a family show.
My fragile ego.
I didn't know it. I thought he said, I need some stroking over here.
My fragile ego needs some stroking.
Well, we're just happy to be a part of it. That's all.
Yeah,
and we're very
awesome.
Happy to have you be a part of it. 810 being a part of it. Appreciate Chad letting us come in and do this, and it's been a great partnership. Trust me.
And we'll see if we can get a couple of VIPs out there.
Oh yeah, we're gonna try. Well, we got Bluma coming. Is that a VIP?
Sure, it is.
We need to get the football boys out there.
Sherm. Do you want Dieter and Sherm?
I'm not sure if I want Dieter because
wow.
I don't trust him.
You hear that, Dieter?
Sherm, yeah.
You want Sherm for sure. Yeah.
I haven't seen Dieter with his hat I gave him yet.
We'll get it. We'll get it.
I saw mine on Sherm's head,
yeah.
But I haven't. No.
Dieter, you know, he's got that hair to protect.
Yeah, that's true. He's pretty.
Corey, thank you for coming in and spreading the word, and we'll get this thing done.
Always a pleasure to see you.
All right. Do we have to break before we get back into the. Well, I want to say our piece about reiterate what we talked about with the stadium vote at the top of the show and get Mike's thoughts. That's Corey Boddicker, BoddickerFoundation.org, 2024 Bourbon Raffle, benefits Children's Mercy, and you can buy tickets right now. There is no limit, so buy tickets early and often, and you can end up winning fabulous prizes like a wonderful bottle of Pappy Van Winkle 15-year. All kinds of great stuff. You could win one of my favorite Blanton's, win a Blanton's Gold.
Blanton's Gold.
And gift it to me, whatever you want to do. BotticherFoundation.org. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And so, again, I went into a lengthy discussion about this. Earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, you can listen to the podcast at 810WHP.com. Maybe, Jake, when we podcast that, just do that alone, away from the Alec Marsh talk. So we just give, you know, people what they want.
They want to know
if
the
not,
reason.
Okay.
They want to know the reason,
right.
Steve.
Okay, so here's some of the things that I said, and I want to get your thoughts. Oh, we only have about 6 minutes because Jake doesn't want to hear what we have to say.
Pretty much.
Where this, okay, and again, I don't think this is Jackson County saying that they don't want the Royals or don't want the Chiefs. This is Jackson County saying that the plan that was put in front of them was not good enough. That the plan put in front of them, that's what they don't want. Of course Jackson County wants the Chiefs. Of course Jackson County wants the Royals. But if you are going to present a plan, it has to be a good plan. And it has to appear like you have a handle on things, like you know what you're doing. It was poorly planned. It was confusing. It was they took too long to initially decide what the site was going to be. They jugged their feet there. Then when they picked the site, then they changed it. Then after they changed it, they amended it, and it looked like they didn't know what they were doing. When the Chiefs released their renderings, it was absolutely positively underwhelming. If that's giving the people of Jackson County their best plan and their best foot forward, what was the worst plan? What was worse than that? All of us looked at it and said, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else? I think if the site would have stayed in the East Village, then it would have passed last night. They switched to the Crossroads, and they picked a fight that they were not ready for. They picked a fight that they weren't ready for, and by the time they realized they were in a fight, it was too late. And they had to make up too much ground, and they started to panic. And also, the threats, just the insinuation that they were going to take their ball and go someplace else. Kansas Cityans, Jackson Countyans, they don't take that very well. It was the teams have nobody to blame but themselves. It never appeared like they had a firm grasp on anything. And so, and Michael, your thoughts. The final thing I'll say, I said earlier, it's still going to be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals. They're not leaving the Kansas City metropolitan area. Okay? There is still a path for the Chiefs to play at Truman Sports Complex. There's still a path for the Royals to have a downtown stadium. But what happened last night, paths were opened and created now. There's a path to Johnson County. There's a path to Wyandotte County. There's a path to Clay County. All things are possible now. Will the Chiefs and Royals stay in Jackson County? I don't know. Will they stay in the greater Kansas City metropolitan area? Yes. They'll still be the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll still be the Kansas City Royals. But I don't know what county they'll be in. Mike Boddicker, your thoughts?
I agree with everything you said. They did open the door for the other counties. And Clay County's chomping at the bit. I'm sure Wyandotte would take him in a heartbeat, and I know Johnson would because I live here. As far as the Chiefs, it looked like they just slapped a proposal together, like it caught them off guard. That's the only thing that I could see. And how many times did the Royals did not respond to their self-imposed deadlines? It was, oh, well, we're not ready yet. People don't like that. That's just bad planning. And that I didn't have a vote in it. I had a feeling it was going to be no because of all the people I talked to said this is ridiculous. We want them. We want the teams, but and you know, if the Royals would leave to go to Nashville, maybe we could get them on TV. You suppose?
Oh boy,
I don't know.
Yeah, guess what? Guess what? That doesn't help. There's a lot of
yeah.
elements in this thing.
Don't threaten us. Don't threat. I don't like the threatening part of it because
nobody does.
No, and that ticks people off. It really does. I agree with you. They will be here. And to be honest with you, I still think they're going to be in Jackson County. But they better have a plan next time. Have it ready. Have everything. What exactly they're going to do? When it's going to be done? And here's okay. Let's vote on it. It wasn't. Everything was kind of mumble jumble this time. And that's when I said I thought it would be no, and I would vote no because of what I heard.
Figure out what your message is. Figure out how to deliver it without arrogance. the Jackson County, they're not saying no to the Chiefs and no to the Royals. They're saying no to a bad deal.
Yeah.
They're saying no to what
they want our teams.
Right.
They want our teams.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're saying no to the idea that it just seemed like there's arrogance that, you know what, whatever we put on the plate, they're just going to eat, they're going to accept, it's going to pass. And by the time the Chiefs and Royals figured out, oh, this is a real fight, this might not pass, it was too late.
Yep.
And then you saw what looked like desperation with all these last-second everything,
yep.
Press conferences and appearances and agreements.
The people spoke.
Sending this poor Casey Wolf out on the... He can't even talk, and they got him canvassing for votes.
Bad concrete.
And you know what? And Nate hasn't even brought up Bad Batch of Concrete yet. I don't know how he doesn't.
Well, it speaks for itself.
Well, doesn't it? Thank you, Mike Boddicker.
It was fun.
This has been a Bad Batch of Radio, I think.
No.
Well, great radio. You nailed it.
Well.
You nailed it.
Exactly. I got the good batch. You got the bad batch.
Is that right?
Something like that.
I'm moving. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.